This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, November 12th. Well, wheat markets had another good day yesterday, sharply higher for the early part of the session, up about 21 or so, and ended up kind of just drifting lower through the rest of the session. We closed about mid-range on the day, but still up pretty strong. Kansas City, Minneapolis, and Chicago all up 9 on the March contracts, and all of them were 11 to 12 cents off the high. So again, a nice strong surge higher, struggle to hang on to those gains, but still closing about mid-range for the day. Corn was down 1 on the day and also 9 off of its high, so it actually put in a reversal after having a nice solid day up. And soybeans were up 5 on the day. We saw that wheat markets responding to a couple things, the continued rain in Australia, which is creating some pretty big issues over there. The eastern side of the country has had far too much rain on mature wheat, and we're starting to worry about quality, of course, but also even losing some yield at this rate. Anywhere from 2 to 4 inches have fallen, and there's a forecast for more. At least that was the forecast of yesterday. Today we come in, we see the forecast offering some dry conditions, about a 4 or 5 day stretch here in a few days. So hopefully that would be enough to dry things down and get back in the field, but definitely a rough stretch for the Australian harvest. In Argentina, we're moving along with the harvest. We don't see any major issues there. The problem with Argentina is the wheat itself. They've grown a fair amount of GMO wheat, and the question was, is Brazil going to accept it? They did put out a decision yesterday, which I don't think really clarified much. The Brazilian government will allow Argentine GMO wheat flour into the country. Well, you know, does that then say that Argentine GMO wheat is allowable? One would think you could extrapolate it from that, but it really still boils down to the individual buyers. And the buyers are not happy about this. The Wheat Association is wanting the government to reverse this decision. I doubt they'll do that. So the pressure will fall on the individual buyers. Are they going to accept Argentine wheat or not? I mean, it's still up to them. It certainly would suggest they're not, you know, with their pushing back on this decision, clearly they don't want Argentine GMO wheat in the country. So it's going to force them to be the ones that test it and make sure it hasn't commingled with the regular wheat. Do they have the ability to do that? I don't know, but that requires a whole nother level of expertise. Or they could just decide they're not going to buy it at all, and they'll go to the U.S. or to Russia. Russia's becoming much more difficult with their increase in export tax, which we'll get to here in a minute. But the bottom line for Brazilian Wheat Association is they don't want the GMO wheat or flour in their country. They don't want to have to deal with it. But how are they going to avoid it, number one? Or do they just bypass Argentine wheat altogether and go elsewhere, which is not easy to do? They import roughly 7 million tons of wheat every year, and the vast majority of that comes from next door, Argentina. For them to shift sources would be hugely expensive for them, not to mention time consuming. So it puts them in a difficult position. I would imagine you're probably going to get a combination. Some will just capitulate and take it without the testing. Others will decide to test and reject it if they see it in a cargo, see the GMO blended with a cargo, or they just won't take their chances and they'll just go elsewhere. But either way, it slows down, I think, importing from Argentina, and it just helps to underscore the bullishness of the broader wheat market. You know, here you already were in a bull market for wheat coming into this harvest season, and if you remove a major exporter, at least even some of the quantity they have available for export, it puts that much more pressure on the rest of the exporters whose supplies are already running at record low levels on a stocks to use ratio. So it's clearly a bullish development. The pushback that we're seeing from the Wheat Association, it really just boils down to what are they going to do about it? And we'll just have to see how that plays out. The other thing, of course, is you've got the Russian government still really pushing back on Russian exports. The tax that they imposed, which is a pretty onerous tax, frankly, has not really slowed down exports all that much. They're still competitive in the world market. Russian exporters were forced to raise FOB offers to accommodate the tax. That pushed all world offers higher. So basically, it just elevated all boats, basically. And the Russian government is kind of scrambling here to reassess the situation. Their goal was to slow down exports, to tamp down domestic rising bread and flour and wheat prices. It has not worked. We're still hovering at all-time highs. So the government is now saying that they will impose the tariff rate quota on the 1st of January instead of the middle of February. So that's 6 weeks less time that exporters have to move wheat out of the country. And effectively, considering we're already in mid-November, basically just kind of shuts them off. Basically, they're not going to have enough time to offer tender, respond to tenders and get the wheat sourced and get it shipped. Very little time anyway to do that. So that's going to be part of the process. We did see the Russian government announce what the new export tax would be, and for wheat, it's $77.10. That's up 7.20 a ton just over last week, which was up $3 from the previous week. In corn, up 12.80 at 62.90, and barley up 11.20 at 66 even. So the government's getting real about this. They're not messing around anymore. This effectively shuts off corn exports out of Russia. I would imagine it's pretty much going to shut off the rest of grain exports as well. That can only be construed as bullish for the broader world market. You've effectively removed the biggest wheat exporter completely away from the market. And that's, and just this follows just this week that USDA raised Russian wheat export estimates by 1 million tons. Well, that they're going to have to do an about face on that quickly, because this really changes the dynamics of the wheat market. So, we're still looking for demand to be coming to the U.S. Again, you do have the Southern Hemisphere harvest. It's going to offer some pressure, but you have problems with the harvest in Australia. You got problems with the wheat in Argentina. Who knows where all of this is going to shake out, but it just underscores and helps to fuel that bullish fire as we move through the winter months. Speaking of the winter months, you do have La Niña that is bearing down on the South America in particular, but it's being blamed for much of the rainfall that's happening over eastern Australia, which is not unusual for a La Niña. So this is a strong one, and it's already having an impact. In Argentina and southern Brazil, where normally it brings dry weather, that has not been the case. They've had quite a bit of rain, actually, to get their growing season started for corn and beans. So they're off to, a pretty stellar start for corn and beans in both pretty much all of Brazil and all of Argentina. And they're still in the planting process. It's the January through February time window that the long-range forecasts are suggesting La Niña will have its biggest impact in South America. And of course, that would come right during the heart of the growing season for corn and beans. So this is something that still is hovering out there that could be a major player in the row crop markets. And obviously, if you run into production problems in corn in either Argentina or Brazil, not only is that bullish for corn, but it also helps to support the wheat market as well. Couple other things too. We got the U.S. dollar pushing into a new high, a new 1.5-year high, that is pressuring energy prices. So that's offering some sort of tamping down of the bullish enthusiasm for corn, and that spills over to wheat as well, but also for soybeans with the biofuel demand expected to be maybe just a little bit lower if energy prices are going to drop. Certainly, it's going to spill over into the row crop valuations as well. But with the Fed looking like it's going to start raising interest rates, that is certainly helping to support the dollar. The weaker crude oil prices are pulling back the Russian ruble valuation somewhat, which would make Russian wheat exports a little more competitive in the world. So that's some of the issue that we're seeing, and a little bit of weakness showing up on the night session in the wheat space. But I don't look for a significant break here. Seasonally, we're still in a time window when the market would drift lower into that Thanksgiving time window. We have not done that, obviously. The market could cool off, could come back. We did put in new highs here yesterday. The market could come back, test the breakout points. I think those will be your first level of support. But in the bigger picture, really the fundamentals become yet more bullish with the absence of Russia, with issues with Australian wheat, with questions about Argentine wheat. These are significant developments in the market that are all bullish to the wheat space on top of a market that was already in a bull market. So we're still looking for the market to push its way higher, likely into early February would be a seasonal target window, and then again into early May, I think will be your ultimate one, certainly for spring wheat. When you get into that April-May time window, if you have good growing conditions in the southern plains of the United States and the rest of the northern hemisphere, but primarily the U.S. southern plains and central plains, it's difficult to rally hard red winter wheat in that environment. And it's unlikely that Chicago would rally either, but certainly Minneapolis would continue to work its way higher as it fights to preserve its acreage base. And I think it's going to just be a full-on battle for acres for all the spring crops as you get into March, April, and May. But for winter wheat, it will depend on what kind of weather conditions you have. And we are looking for an increase in winter wheat acres, and I think that'll be split between hard red and soft red. But USDA indicated around 4 million acres increase with their increase in seed use in the supply-demand report on Tuesday. So, you know, that's a pretty healthy jump in winter wheat acres. And I think that's why your new crop futures have really struggled to keep up with the old crop. And I think that spread will continue to widen out. The bull market in old crop will continue to pull those contracts higher, whereas new crop will tag along, but they're certainly not going to have that kind of energy to them. The bull spreads are working, the bull market is intact, and I think that will remain that way at least into early February for winter wheat, and it should remain that way, in my opinion, into early May for spring wheat. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.